Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. $68 billion, that's billion with a B. That is the latest budget shortfall projection from the nonpartisan LAO, or Legislative Analyst Office, on where California stands financially as we head into the new year. The budget shortfall has ballooned. Last year, the gap was $31 billion. Now it's more than double. Of course, the big question is why and how did we get here? The tougher question is what needs to be done to get us out of this financial hole? If there is any good news to all of this, the state's financial analysts would not go as far as calling this a crisis and said California is in a better position now to handle it than in years before. Cap Radio state politics reporter Nicole Nixon is going to walk us through the budget shortfall and explain what could get California back on a healthy financial track. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Okay, so $68 billion, not a crisis, according to state analysts. You know, who are they?
The legislative analyst, Gabe Pettick, says this is not a crisis. The Legislative Analyst's Office, like you said, it's a nonpartisan entity. There's about 50 analysts who advise the legislature on fiscal and policy issues in that office. They play a big role in crafting the budget. They often give recommendations on policy and budget line items. Like you said, the $68 billion, the lead legislative analyst, Gabe Pettick, says it's not a crisis. So here's that.
I go with the word serious budget problem. And the reason for the distinction is the tools that the state has available that I've been mentioning, the reserves, the one-time spending, and the other options. And also the state remains in a good cash position, and that really wasn't the case back in the start of the Great Recession. And so we don't face the same kind of liquidity challenges that we had at that time. And so I would stop short of describing it as a crisis.
And just some other top line items from this budget outlook report. A big chunk of this deficit is actually for the current fiscal year we are in, about $26 billion. And then the LAO is also projecting operating deficits around $30 billion for the next 3 years in the state. So there's a lot of money problems for the legislature to figure out when they come back in January.
And I don't have to go that far back into history to when you joined us like a year or two ago and we had like a record budget surplus, and now we're on the opposite end of things. It's down to 180. So when it comes to a budget shortfall that we're currently facing, $68 billion, you know, when it comes to this magnitude, how does it stack up to previous years when California faced a deficit? I mean, is this significant when you go back like 10 or 20 years?
I mean, dollar-wise, this is for sure the largest budget deficit the state has ever faced. But the LAO says that compared to it, percentage-wise, you know, as a percentage of the entire budget, it compares to the dot-com bust or the Great Recession 20 years ago.
And didn't we just pass a budget for $31 billion not too long ago? What happened? How did we get here?
Yeah, the current budget included a deficit, or they filled a deficit of about $31 billion. But the state was already anticipating a budget for the next fiscal year. But this is like 4 to 5 times the size of that deficit they were planning for. And a lot of this has to do with last year's winter storms. I know, it's interesting to connect weather to a giant state deficit, but because there was so much severe flooding all around the state, the federal government pushed the tax filing deadline from April to the fall. It ended up being in November, and the state followed for uniformity. The state really relies on having those tax receipts in the spring so that they know how much money is coming in, what they can plan for. So those coming in so late in the year and being down so much really surprised a lot of folks, and here we are.
Yeah, and a delay like that going from April to November. I mean, I remember talking to the Department of Finance, and that was unprecedented. Something like this hadn't been done before. But did you get a better understanding of why they were so off with their projections and estimates?
Well, California is home to a lot of the wealthiest people in the country. Those people pay taxes at a much higher rate than you or I do. Usually in a good year, the top 1% is paying almost half of all state tax revenue. The LAO said that according to their early numbers, it's looking more like 40%. So the point here is when the highest earners in the state have a down year, the entire state budget really, really feels it.
Okay, so in addition to these tax receipts not looking how they were expected to look, but overall, when it comes to California's economy, it's still relatively strong. I know we are facing inflation and a higher and more strained cost of living, but how do these two things square up?
Well, this report actually shows a cooling economy. You have top earners making less money, getting less stocks and bonuses. Interest rates are up. They have been for a while. That means people are borrowing less. Home sales are down. That affects tax revenue. Investments in businesses are also down. The number of IPOs really contributed to those $100 billion surpluses a couple years ago, and that is way down the number of companies going public. Also, fewer Californians are employed right now than they were last summer in 2022. Sales tax is the sales tax revenue is also flat, even though prices are going up. A flat sales tax shows that people are not spending as much money. And all of these things are pointing to an economic slowdown and less tax revenue as a result.
OK, so if there's some foreshadowing of, you said, a cooling, it could even further slow down. I mean, this deficit is big enough that the governor could declare a budget emergency. If that happens, what does that allow lawmakers, you know, how does that help them in their ability to deal with this financial problem?
Yeah, well, as you heard Gabe Petek mention, we have a budget, a rainy day fund now that we did not have 20 years ago. So there's about $24 billion in there. A budget emergency would allow state lawmakers to take money out of that. It would also allow them to do this complicated maneuver with education funding. The state has to give, you know, a constitutional minimum for schools. They've been paying more than that minimum. A budget emergency would allow the state legislature to go back and kind of redo the math for the school year we're in right now. That means that schools would get less money, but they could take money out of a school a rainy day fund account and backfill that. And then that constitutional minimum for school spending, a budget emergency would let them, you know, use that minimum to give less money for schools, basically. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I mean, especially come the new year, I mean, some tough decisions likely will have to be made. And you mentioned the dot-com bust, you mentioned the Great Recession. I mean, during those periods, I mean, there were massive budget shortfalls and also budget battles when it came to, like, what to cut, and with legislators fighting over that funding. Do we expect the same kind of dynamic when the legislature returns?
Not to that extreme. I mean, back then there were, yeah, light budgets. Workers, state workers were getting IOUs. Since that time, voters approved new laws that, one, lowered the threshold to pass a budget. It used to be the legislature had to do a two-thirds majority on all budgets. That made it very difficult to get there. Now it's just a simple majority, which means the Democratic supermajority can easily pass a budget. Also, lawmakers don't get paid if they don't pass a balanced budget. That's a big incentive for them to get it done. And then in 2014, after the Great Recession, voters passed a law that requires this minimum amount of money to go toward the rainy day fund and paying down debt. So that is a big reason, that rainy day fund, why the state has big reserve accounts to help deal with this budget.
Okay, so although large, this budget deficit is different from others in the past. Have we heard from the governor on this? What is his expected next step when it comes to the budget?
We have not heard from the governor. He's actually skipped some public appearances since this big deficit news came out. Now, I'm not saying that that's directly related. He's had other things on his agenda. I don't know that he's been asked about it. His next step is in early January presenting his spending plan to the legislature.
Mm. You know, when it comes to what could potentially fall on the budget axe when it comes to certain areas of government spending, when talking with lawmakers, have you gotten an idea if there maybe would be cuts to education or infrastructure or other industries and agencies?
We don't know yet. I think it's still very early, and the budget is not due till June. You have lawmakers making statements saying that they want to protect core services like education. So that'll be something to watch. The Legislative Analyst's Office also says that there are ways the legislature could fill this deficit without making major cuts to ongoing programs. There's that school funding thing. There's budget reserves. There's about $9 billion that has been allocated, but it has not gone out the door yet. So they could stop that and pull it back to put toward this problem.
I would imagine there's also people who are critical of the state getting into this situation. I mean, when you hear from lawmakers who, you know, have argued that California is just spending its way into these budget shortfalls, I mean, what are they saying?
Well, you have Republicans definitely saying, blaming the Democrats who control the legislature and the Democratic governor for runaway spending. I talked to Senator Roger Nilo. He's local in Fair Oaks, and he's the top Republican on the Senate Budget Committee. Here's what he had to say.
every 5 to 7 years, we go through this cycle. And while we're better prepared for it now than we were in 08, 09, we do have a reserve. It's not adequate to fill the gap. We've made it worse by the budget that we adopted for the current year. And we have a very significant hill to climb.
And then you heard Senator Nilo mention that we made it worse. That's because the legislature passed a budget that was expecting a deficit for next year. So, you know, their argument is that Democrats are spending, not putting as much away and spending on one-time programs. Also, a kind of scorching statement from James Gallagher, the top Republican in the assembly. He blamed Newsom as a checked out governor, I'm quoting now, who's more interested in chasing the national spotlight than the business of running the state. Also pointing out that the size of the state budget overall has grown so much over the past 5 years, and they just call it irresponsible.
Well, and Nicole, obviously this budget deficit is running into a big election year, 2024. Do you think this could be an opportunity for Republicans to kind of seize this opportunity and say, hey, this is more of the same from Democrats?
Absolutely. You're already seeing that. Republicans blaming Democrats for spending, for taking this golden goose of $100 billion surpluses and turning it into a $58 billion deficit. Now, do state lawmakers have control over the economy at large and interest rates? No. But Republicans argue that the state could be doing much more to foster a healthy business economy. Now, on the flip side, Democrats can use this to their advantage. They can craft a balanced budget. They can say, look at all these programs we saved from being cut. We saw that in 2020 when we were also looking at a big deficit because of the pandemic. They protected school funding. They put more money toward like distance learning and all of those things. So it will be interesting to see if Democrats make this backward looking adjustment to school funding. I mean, nobody wants to be responsible for cutting school funding, especially in an election year.
Yeah. Finally, Nicole, I mean, we're in the middle of this. What will the next several months look like when it comes to the budget?
Yeah. And I will say this report is very very primary. You know, the tax receipt numbers just came in. So analysts are in the Newsom administration's Department of Finance. That's another thing I didn't mention is the LAO is the legislature's fiscal analyst. The Newsom administration has their own department looking at these numbers, and actually they may have a different number. Mm. So the governor's required to present a balanced spending plan in early January. After that, he and the top Democrats in the legislature will go into these really tough negotiations to figure out what to spend, if they're going to make cuts, and what those cuts would be. Later in the spring, the state will have an even better idea of its finances. That's assuming, again, though, that the tax deadline doesn't get pushed later in the year like it happened this year. And then the entire balanced budget is due in June, just ahead of the new fiscal year in July.
A lot of dynamics at play.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thanks.
Nicole Nixon is Cap Radio state politics reporter explaining California's projected $68 billion budget shortfall and where it stands today. Up next, the USDA announced a new push with funding attached to help train the next generation of farmers and ranchers. And one of those recipients is right here in Sacramento. We'll learn about it. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.